Hasharon prison north of Tel Aviv. 119 Palestinians are incarcerated in this wing. The Israelis say they're terrorists. The Palestinians call them freedom fighters. Today, I was the first Western journalist the Israelis have allowed to interview the man who most Palestinians see as their leader, Yasser Arafat's heir. Marwan Barghouti has been in prison for 4 years, serving 5 life sentences for the murder of Israeli civilians, a charge he rejects. Today, he spoke publicly for the first time.
The Israelis succeeded to arrest my body, but not my head and not my soul. They will not succeed to do that. They will not break our will for independence and for freedom.
Barghouti shares a tiny cell with 2 other prisoners. For 3 years, he was kept in solitary confinement. Now he says he's locked up 21 hours a day. We crammed inside for the interview.
I was in the solitary confinement during most of the time. I didn't see anybody. I didn't receive my children or my wife or anybody. I didn't. You are the first journalist, you and Al Jazeera and the others, who I see. This is the first day in my life in the prison during 5 years, 4 years, that I met anybody.
Barghouti's poster is all over the West Bank. Despite being in prison, he still tops the list for Fatah, Yasser Arafat's party, in next week's elections.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
In jail, he's become close to prisoners from the more militant and religious group Hamas and claims some credit for Hamas's participation in these elections.
I think that Hamas is part of the Palestinian people and they have the right to participate. And personally, I was trying all the years before and in the last year to convince them and to pressure them to participate in the election. So I welcome this decision, historical decision from Hamas, because what is the meaning of the participation of Hamas in the elections? That mean that they believe in democracy, that they are ready to work according to the rules of the law and the rules of the democracy. And this is very important.
So is it the end of the armed struggle? The time for using guns and bombs has gone?
The Palestinian people, and it should be very clear, the Palestinian people have the full right to resist against the Israeli military occupation in the occupied territories. In any way, do you think that they will leave Gaza without the intifada, without the resistance? They will not. They stay there about 38 years. Why they get out from Gaza? And I think this is a big achievement of the intifada. But the Palestinians should give the chance for any efforts, international efforts, regional efforts, and we will do that.
Barghouti refused to recognize the Israeli court, which convicted him in 2004. But many Israelis, especially those who lost family members in suicide bombings, see him as a murderer and terrorist who should never be freed.
And believe me, the Israelis consider everybody who against the occupation is a terrorist, and it's not true. I don't think the Israelis are suitable and qualified to describe the people. And the last in the world who can talk about the terror, I think the Israelis.
But they have specific proof. They took you to court. No, they had particular people who they said were murdered. They showed your involvement, that the documents that showed you paying people who had carried out suicide bombings.
Absolutely no. And I didn't deal with the Israeli court. I didn't. I don't recognize the right of Israel to sentence a Palestinian leader, Palestinian member of parliament. The Israelis didn't respect the democracy. If they do, and they know very well, I'm not leading military action here and attacks and here and there. That's right. I'm very clear that I support the Palestinian intifada and the Palestinian resistance against the occupation. And I still, I'm talking with you now in the Israeli jail. I'm not outside. And I will still say that.
So what is your view now on suicide bombings, which are continuing? There was suicide bombing in Tel Aviv the other day.
We didn't do that.
But what's your opinion? opinion of the Palestinians who do that?
I think the Israelis didn't help the Palestinians of their internal discussion to reach to the point about that. I think the Palestinians very more than any time very close to take a decision about that. But first of all, the Israelis during the Intifada killed more than 800 Palestinian children.
Does that justify Palestinians killing Israeli children?
Yes, in any case, nobody can justify killing civilians, children, women, in anywhere in this world. They should be outside of the game. It should be very clear, in Palestine or in Israel.
Barghouti told me he spends his days reading in English, Arabic and Hebrew, which he learnt during a previous stint in Israeli jails. He's read Edward Said and Paulo Coelho. He's studying leadership, reading the autobiographies of Margaret Thatcher and Bill Clinton, as well as a new biography of the ailing Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon.
We need two leaders who are ready to take decisions. Critical decisions, to take risk and to decide from the Israeli side and the Palestinian side. And I think that my people is ready for peace with the Israeli people. We should build according to the categories of democracy which are well known in the world. We should build our democratic state. And I think the Palestinian people very qualified to do that.
But they're making a mess in Gaza. Look at Gaza. People are shooting each other, kidnapping visitors. It's chaos.
I think it's a big crime to kidnap any journalist or to kidnap any foreigner. They should stop that. I condemn that in the media. And I sent a message for the people that I know. And I hope that they will not repeat that.
Barghouti's wife Fadwa campaigns on his behalf, addressing political meetings in the West Bank, encouraging people to vote for her husband, even though he won't be able to take up his parliamentary seat from prison. He says her role and that of other women is essential.
Because they take a big role in the struggle against the occupation. And so I hope that we will see in the future a woman as a prime minister in Palestine.
And do you think that you will spend the rest of your life in prison? Five life sentences?
No, absolutely. I will be free with all these prisoners in the Israeli jails. I think it's very clear that the Israelis cannot keep us, these tens thousands of in the Israeli jails. And finally, they will discover, you know what happened in South Africa. Finally, they go to Mandela and start to negotiate with him. What happened in Ireland?
Yeah, in Ireland, they talked.
Yeah, they talked, finally. And they released all the prisoners. The British government considered them terrorists. So I think we are freedom fighters. Finally, we'll be get out from the prison. And I see myself as a Palestinian resident who exercised his rights in Palestinian democratic state. This is my dream.
Since age 15, Marwan Barghouti has been one of the most prominent Palestinian figures in his opposition to the Israeli occupation. This week marks 13 years since his imprisonment in Israeli jail. I sat down with his wife, Fadwa Barghouti, this week. Let's see the interview.
Mrs. Fadwa Barghouti, thank you very much for this interview. I want to take you to that moment 13 years ago when Marwan was taken into custody. What did you feel?
First, on the one hand, there are the personal feelings, and on the other hand, you have the general ones. On the personal level, any woman in the world whose husband is taken in this way and judged the way Marwan was, it's not an easy thing for her. She is worried about the future of her children. Will she be able to fill the void for them? Can I be a mother and a father to our four children? But on the other hand, I'm one Palestinian woman out of thousands of Palestinian women, mothers, that have experienced the same suffering that I'm going through, and sometimes worse.
أمهاتهم في بعض الأحيان ولذلك هذا
So when you see the suffering of others and reconsider your own problems, in a way you feel some relief.
يعني مصهور جزء لا يتجزأ من الهم العام.
You know, there is a general sentiment on the Palestinian street that Marwan's form of resistance, armed resistance, is no longer relevant. When you speak with Marwan, do you feel as though he feels he made a mistake? Maybe he understands now that the diplomatic stance taken also by the Palestinian Authority has replaced the old form of resistance?
First of all, Marwan lost 20 years of his life in Israeli prisons for his belief in the right of the Palestinian people to freedom and independence. Marwan's goal has always been ending the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories. Marwan Barghouti believes in politics. He's a politician of the first degree. He's a political and national leader and loved by his people. He fought for peace with bravery and spent time on the Palestinian street advocating for peace. But he also believes in international law, which gives occupied people the right to fight for their independence and freedom.
But that same international law did not view Marwan Barghouti as a political leader. Instead, it viewed him as a terrorist. He's now entering his 14th year in prison, not as political prisoner, at least not in the view of Israel and international community. He's imprisoned as a terrorist, as someone whose hands are covered in blood of Jewish victims.
In Israel, every Palestinian child is guilty of terrorism. In Israel, the Palestinian people as a whole is guilty of terrorism. Marwan Barghouti's trial was a political trial in every sense of the word, and its goal was to stop the Palestinian resistance, to stop the Intifada, to stop the right of the Palestinians to independence. This is the Israeli view, but I disagree with you completely in terms of how he's viewed the world. The world's most important leaders, from ministers to politicians, from the U.S. to Latin America and Ireland, they do not view Marwan Barghouti as a terrorist. They view him as a brave campaigner for peace and as a loyal leader of his people.
Do you think this view would be easy to accept by an Israeli mother who lost her child?
Unfortunately, I don't accept that we should discuss the suffering of Israeli women without discussing the suffering of the Palestinian women. A mother is a mother, and a woman is a woman, no matter where in the world she comes from, whether it be Israel or Palestine or Syria. So when you ask about the Israeli mother, I ask you back. Can a Palestinian mother who buried her child in Sijal, like many other Palestinian mothers, can she accept that the suffering can be passed down to her grandchildren as well? Her children are suffering, and her father may have suffered. This dates back several generations. Should her grandchildren suffer too?
To pick up on your point, I want to repeat my question because you didn't answer me yet. In his own mind, does Marwan consider that it's time to stop fighting, it's time to stop burying our children, that the way of the past is not the right way today? For a leader, it's sometimes necessary to recognize that we've made a mistake and fix that mistake for the sake of our people.
يعني
Any person in his right mind would rather achieve his right to freedom through conversation and peaceful means. The Palestinian people has given peace and negotiations a chance time and time again, more than any other people possibly could. Of course, Marwan Barghouti, as a leader, would rather that the Palestinian people achieve their freedom through negotiations and peace. But he's a leader, and he's been elected, and he expresses the view of the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people has already waited 23 years since Madrid, and we have not made a single step forward. On the contrary, the settlements have grown, the number of Palestinian prisoners has increased, the number of checkpoints has increased, and the number of victims has increased. What can the Palestinian people do? We can only continue to seek protection under international law, which protects all people in their fight for independence.
On the Israeli street and in Israeli politics, there are people who claim that Marwan Barghouti knows the Israelis better than they know themselves. What does he know about Israelis today that he didn't know before?
Firstly, Marwan is a very educated man. Secondly, he has mastered Hebrew completely. Thirdly, he obtains and reads every book that is published in Israel. Israeli politicians cannot take the time to read every single book. But Marwan Barghouti, in his isolation chamber, reads every book about Israeli politics, institutions, Israeli leaders, Israeli concerns and priorities. He knows them all. So it's not a stretch to say he knows a great deal about Israeli society. I don't want to elaborate on this, but he knows a great deal about Israelis. And the painful thing is that Israel has proven in its recent round of elections it does not aspire to peace, as we, the Palestinian people, do.
One final question. There are those who say that certain Palestinian leaders would not like to see Marwan Barghouti's release from jail. What do you say to these people, or perhaps they may be right?
I find it very difficult to believe that there is one single Palestinian who does not want to see Marwan Barghouti a free man. If there is a Palestinian who thinks this of Marwan, I doubt he's truly a Palestinian. I cannot imagine that there are Palestinians who do not want to see him released.
What will be the first thing you'd like to say to your husband on the day of his release?
I'll say, I'm proud of you. I'll say, I've missed you. But for the sake of the Palestinian people, I've made this sacrifice.
Fadwa Barghouti, thank you very much for this interview.
Well, as Mahmoud Abbas looks for new ideas to push for a two-state solution, political prisoners in Palestine are still on hunger strike. As many as 1,500 prisoners have been protesting against the grim conditions inside Israeli prisons for more than 3 weeks. They're calling for more family visits, better medical attention, and an end to imprisonment without charge. Now, Marwan Barghouti is one of those prisoners. He's serving multiple life sentences. His son, Arab Marwan Barghouti, joins us now from Washington. Thank you very much for joining us, sir. So just first of all, just tell us the current state of your father at the moment.
Yeah, well, as you guys know, the hunger strike started 17 days ago. I'm here in Washington to in a trip just to raise our voice, to reach as many people as we can about the hunger strike that is going on. My father's leading the strike. He's doing it for us. He's doing it to be able to see us, because I haven't seen my father for 2 years. For example, I haven't been able to even touch him for 15 years. These are the demands he's asking for. He's not asking for privilege. He's not asking for too much. The demands can easily be met, but with the arrogance of the current Israeli government, we know that they just want to make it hard, and they want to make it the hard way.
And of course, your father was convicted, and the Israeli ministry say in a New York Times article that he's on hunger strike to further his own political ambitions. What's your response to that criticism coming from the Israelis?
Yeah, about the political ambitions, I say just read the demand. You're going to find them only asking about human rights, nothing political about the message, nothing political about the strike. They're not asking anything political. The only thing they're asking for is to be treated as humans. The only thing they're asking for is to be able to visit their families. I personally used to go visit my father like maybe once every 2 years, which is illegal by every international law. And the visit would take me 20 hours just to see him 45 minutes without even being able to touch him on the phone, where I can barely hear his voice. It's a humane message. Anyone who says it's political, they're only distracting you from the ultimate goal, from the main goal, that it's just asking for human demands.
And Arab, are you receiving political support from the Palestinian organizations like Hamas and Fatah?
I'm honestly, it's we can't say we're receiving or we're not. You can ask that to my family who are located in Ramallah, back home. For me, I'm just receiving the support of the world. We got, as you all know, we started the Salt Water Challenge, and we received a lot of support from the world. We got messages, we got videos. Everyone is doing the challenge in solidarity with Palestinian political prisoners. We're proud of that. We're keeping it going. We have on board some surprises of Nobel Prize winners, of mothers from Argentina who lost their sons back in the 60s when the struggle was going. Everyone is in support with the challenge, with the prisoners. Now, when it comes to the Palestinian officials, I'm sure they're working on it, but honestly, we're not seeing these efforts, and we're waiting for the demands to be met. We're waiting for everyone to unite in one voice, the voice of humanity. We ask humanity for justice.
And finally then, Arab Marwan Barghouti, how far do you think your father is willing to go?
I'm going to quote my father when he said, "Our chains will be broken before we are." My father is a man who knows what he's doing, his experience. He spent in Israeli jails throughout his life, more than 21 years. I think my father is a man that keeps his word. What he's asking is just his basic human rights. If you go to any international law, you're going to find what he's asking is legal to any prisoner. We're not talking why he's there from the first place. Like, he shouldn't be there. He was backed by very high-profile people like Nelson Mandela, like the ex-president of the U.S., Jimmy Carter, like Angela Davis, and many names, Desmond Tutu. I can't name them right now. He's a very high-profile, a prominent Palestinian political leader. He's going to take it as far as it takes to get his demands, and his 1,600 fellow prisoners, who I send my love, my energy to all of them, not only my father. It's not only about him. It's about many prisoners who are asking for justice. We're talking about Karim Yunus, who spent 35 years in jails, in Israeli jails, the longest political leader in history, who we saw 2 days ago in trial. And they asked him about my father, and we can't... I'm, as a son, I'm worried about my father. We don't know anything about him. The lawyers are not allowed to go there. No one is allowed to go there. So it's really frustrating for us because they put him in the solitary confinement. He spent 3 years of his life in solitary confinement. So someone with this with this mentality is not going to give up. Someone with this mentality is going to get his demand, because the arrogance of the Israeli government is not to be explained, and we need this to be to end right now. And I encourage everyone personally who is seeing me right now through your TV just to do the challenge and just to raise their voice with humanity and with justice.
Arab Marwan Barghouti, we thank you for joining us.
In a hilltop village outside the West Bank city of Ramallah, a momentous day. Well-wishers gather to welcome home a Palestinian prisoner. It's a cross-faith homecoming. Suhair Barghouti was freed before dawn to great celebration. There's been no sleep since. Asif, as she's known in Arabic, is one of more than 3,500 Palestinians detained after the October 7 attacks. She was not charged or told what she was accused of. She says this photo was taken by the arresting officer and posted on his Facebook page with the following caption. Israel says the officer was not with the IDF. The Barghouti family believe he was with the Shin Bet, Israel's internal security agency, which did not respond to our questions. The Barghouti clan have long fought against Israel's occupation of the West Bank, some with guns and some with words. In 1978, Asif's husband Omar was sentenced to decades in jail. Her son, Saleh, was shot dead in 2018 after an attack on Israeli settlers. Another son is in jail for killing two Israeli soldiers the day after his brother died. And her youngest son is being held without charge. Her husband's cousin, Fakhri, spent 34 years in prison for killing an Israeli soldier. Asif says the family are regular targets of Israeli forces. She was held without charge. It's called administrative detention, and was one of 240 prisoners released during the week-long ceasefire with Israel. Many of those freed were of minor political value. They include 107 teenagers, like 17-year-old Ahmed Newman Abu Naim, arrested for throwing stones and an incendiary device. He was due to be released next month.
The prisoner exchange has played well in the West Bank and here in East Jerusalem, and it means a lot to the families of those who have been freed. But it is not the main game. To release the soldiers it holds hostage, Hamas will push Israel to free those who are serving longer jail terms, like militants and political leaders.
Among those who could be released, Asif's two sons, and Marwan Barghouti, a distant relative who many, including some Israelis, want as the next Palestinian president.
Marwan Barghouti is fighting for peace.
Despite the toll of this conflict on her family, she believes resistance is the only path forward.
الإسرائيليين ما بفهموا إلا لغة القوة، ما بفهموا إلا لغة الدم، دائما ناقضين للعهود، دائما من عزمان الأنبياء وعجزوا الأنبياء، فهم هذه اللغة اللي هم بفهموها. يعني إذا ما لاكوا حدا يقاومهم ما يعني ما مش راح يدشرونا.
She supports the October 7 attacks and does not believe that Hamas intended to kill women and children. Around 800 civilians were killed on October 7, including hundreds of women and scores of children. Survivors have reported witnessing rape and torture. The green flags on display during her release are Hamas banners. Her husband, Omar, who died in 2021, was a Hamas leader in the West Bank.
فيش مجال للاحتفالات ومع ذلك لكون هالشباب وجزاهم الله خيرا
حمدوها بكي بكي
انا بعرف انه راح ادفع ثمن
ان شاء الله لا ان شاء الله لا ان شاء الله.
She says an Israeli officer told her she would be rearrested if she gave interviews after her release.
ولما بيهدد فيي يقول لي انت طلعت في الصفقه بس اذا بيجي حدا يستقبلك إذا بشوف حدا غنى، إذا بشوف إنه مثلاً ارتفع علم، إذا بشوف إنه أنتي خليتي حالك بطلي وحكيتي على الإعلام، راح أجيبك.
So why are you doing this?
هو برضو إحنا يعني رسالتنا لازم توصل للعالم، لازم نوصل معاناتنا. صح هي راح تبكى على حسابنا إحنا، وراح ندفع الثمن إحنا، بس إحنا بدنا العالم يشوف إحنا شو بنعاني، إحنا الضحية مش هم. هم دائما بوروا العالم للأسف إنه إعلامنا ضعيف، إعلامهم بسوق للعالم جميعه إنه هم الضحية، مع إنه إحنا اللي ماتلين هوا.
أم أسف says she wants to live in peace, but her dream is not a two-state solution with a separate Palestine and Israel.
والله بكذب عليك إذا بقول لك إنه دول في. يا عمي إحنا يدشروا لنا فلسطين ويروحوا وين ما يروحوا يدشروا لنا فلسطين بدناش غير فلسطين إحنا بدنا أرضنا ومن مطرح ما أجوا اللي أجا من العراق يرجع على العراق واللي أجا من الشام يرجع على الشام واللي أجا من أمريكا يروح على أمريكا واللي بس هذا مش إلهم هان مش إلهم.
As for the Israelis who were born here
والله هذا مش ذنبنا اللي ولدوا هان في نفس الوقت هم قاعدين بدرسوا فيهم كيف يقتلوا العرب بتلاقي الصغير أكثر من الكبير بيطلع.